Let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how good it is for us to be yet again into thy house. Lord, we are blessed, Father, when we come into thy presence. Lord, we give thee thanks, Father, for all that thou hast done for us. Father, we would specifically thank thee for the past weekend. Lord, glory be to thy name. And Father, now we would have thy word before us and we would meditate upon it. And we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy congregation with thy word. Lord, that we would be blessed by thee, that we would be filled, and that our cup would overfill. For we pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to Psalm number 116. Psalm number 116. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. The Bible says that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient unto parents, unthankful, unholy, and the list continues on and on here, saying that in these last days perilous times shall come, these perilous times. And we find ourselves that we are in a society that's very much like this, that men are lovers of their own self, a selfish human being, a selfish race, ones who are looking out for themselves and only themselves. What's in it for me? This has to work for me. Where do I get the advantage? These types of things is of the society that we live in, and these are the days that we live in. And these are perilous times because men are lovers of their own self. And the list just goes on and on of who these people are. And we find them in our society. And so in that context, it's a blessing yet that our nation yet still has a Thanksgiving holiday that we would render, that we as a nation, as citizens, would render Thanksgiving. But the call for a believer is simply far greater than that, to set aside a day where we would, as citizens, just simply give thanks. The Bible calls us to render unto the Lord over and over that with our lips, with our mouth, that we would utter thanksgiving to the Lord. In Hebrews, it says, "By Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name." And so this is what we are called to as believers, is to continually offer that sacrifice of praise to the Lord, rendering thanksgiving to his name for all that he has done for us. Truly, what we experienced last weekend was a great, great blessing to us. And I'm confident that each one of us have rendered our thanksgiving to the Lord for these blessings that we receive of him as believers, as those who call upon the name of the Lord, as those who look to him, as those who has experienced his goodness, as the psalmist did here in the reading that we had this evening. That gracious is the Lord. That's one aspect of the Lord. He's gracious. He is righteous. He is merciful. He preserves. He deals bountifully. That's what the Lord does for us. And that's why we render unto him the thanksgiving of our lips unto him. Because he deals bountifully. And then, for the believer, it is that he has delivered our souls from death. He has delivered our souls from death. And so therefore, continually we render unto him the thanksgiving from our lips. The psalmist over and over speaks of this rendering unto the Lord thanksgiving from our lips. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Speak of it. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. This is rendering from our lips the thanksgiving unto the Lord for all that he has done for us. But the psalmist points out here something very important, that along with rendering unto the Lord the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name, is that we would render unto him our hearts, and that we would come before him in full and complete obedience to the will of the Lord. And in this way, we can render unto the Lord thanksgiving by giving unto him our full and complete and simple obedience to his will. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ did. That he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him who had sent him. To do the will of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came here to do the will of the Father. Likewise, when we are born again, when we are made into the image of Christ, when we have risen as a new creature, that we want to do the will of the Lord and no longer our will, that our will would be gone, that our will wouldn't even matter anymore. We are simply in all aspects desiring to be obedient unto the Lord and desiring his will to be manifest in our lives. As it was in Christ's. And this is what the Lord is calling us to. This is what the Lord here is calling us to. And so again, the psalmist says, he begins the psalmist by saying, the psalm here by saying, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice in my supplication. He loved the Lord. He made that expression. And it wasn't only then with that he verbalized it, that he rendered unto the Lord the fruit of his lips, giving thanks unto his name, but that he recognized what the Lord did and that he would pay the vows that he had made. He recognized that the sorrows of death compassed him and the pains of hell got a hold upon him, and he found trouble and sorrow. Why did he find trouble and sorrow in his life? Was it not that he was perhaps a lover of his own self? Or as in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says that we were all children of disobedience. And when we are children of disobedience, when we are doing our own will, when we are lovers of our own self and have disregard for others, we find that we have trouble and sorrow in our lives. Not peace and joy, we have trouble and we have sorrow in our lives. Then he comes to his senses and he says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Deliver my soul from selfishness. Deliver my soul from disobedience. Let me proclaim thy name, and may I walk in thy will and in full obedience unto thee. And he found that the Lord is gracious. He found that the Lord is merciful. He found that the Lord is righteous. He found that the Lord preserves. He found that the Lord deals bountifully. He found that the Lord has delivered his soul from death. And when he has found these things, he comes to question. And he says here in verse number 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? And cannot we say the same thing in our lives? What shall we render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He has been gracious. He has been kind. We have found him to be, just as the psalmist said, gracious and righteous and merciful and dealing bountifully with us and delivering our souls from death, knowing that we don't have condemnation or judgment pointed toward us, but that we have experienced his mercy. And so what shall we render unto the Lord because of these things? And he says three things here. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. This is how he will render unto the Lord for all the benefits that have been accrued unto him. He will walk before the Lord. And that means to be in obedience. That means to be in full submission to the will of the Lord. I will walk in his ways. If we go to Psalm 119 here, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, who walk according to the will of God, who are obedient unto him. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and they that seek him with the whole heart. Blessed are they. When we say, not my will, as Jesus said, but thine be done, we are blessed. We are filled with his goodness. And we please him well, because the Lord is calling us to this life of obedience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. With our mouth, as we proclaim him, as we render unto him the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name, and in all things, whether we would deem them to be difficult things or rich blessings in a physical or spiritual way, or whatever way, that in all things we would give thanks. And this is what God wants. This is his will for us. We are to yield our will to him. We are not to be selfish. We are not to be self-centered. We are no longer to be the children of disobedience, but we are to, in wholeness, come before him and yield our all to him and render unto him thanksgiving from our lives. So I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will be obedient is what the psalmist came to understand as what he might do to render unto the Lord for all his benefits that he has given unto him. Further, he says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. This will I do. I will pay my vows. In other words, I will be obedient. I will be obedient. Whatever the will of God is for me, I will be obedient. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. And I'm not sure if you noted it, but as we were reading, verse number 14 and verse number 18 are identical. They both say the same exact words. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This is what the Lord wants of us, is to render unto him full and complete obedience. In the Garden of Eden and on Calvary and in heaven, they all proclaim with one voice, child of God. The first and the last of what the Lord wants is full and simple obedience to the Lord. From the beginning until the end, this is what the Lord wants of us, is to have obedient hearts unto Him. And when we do that, our lives will be blessed. We will come to that point where the psalmist has come to, where he just makes this declaration, I love the Lord. I love Him. I know Him. I'm doing His will. I get up in the morning and I pray, earnestly pray, Thy will be done in this day, not mine. Not my will. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And throughout the day that we're continually thinking, Thy will be done, dear Lord. Thy will be done. What will Thou have me to do? That we would no longer have any will of our own, but that we would only be yielded to the will of the Father as the Lord Jesus Christ was. The psalmist also made a declaration in Psalm 40, where when he recognized that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is merciful, that the Lord deals bountifully with us, that the Lord has delivered our soul from death, it comes to the point where he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight in that. That's my delight. It's a joy. I count it a most privilege that I get to do the will of the Father. And I get to have that oneness with Him. It's a blessing as no other blessing can be had, that we would render unto the Lord our thanksgiving, and that we would delight to do His will in all things. Again, Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were all once the children of disobedience. We were all doing our own thing. We didn't care about others. We did what we wanted to do. But when the kindness and that love and that graciousness and the forgiveness and the mercy of the Lord was shown to us, we then put aside our disobedience. We were no longer the children of disobedience, and we became the children of obedience. And so last Sunday morning, we read in Romans chapter 6, where it says, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? We only could serve two masters. We will serve one and hate the other, or vice versa, but we can only serve one master. And when we were the children of disobedience, we then were the servants of sin unto death. That was the reward. Those are the wages of sin. Because we were the children of disobedience. But now we have become the children of obedience, and that renders unto righteousness. And then he says further, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. That's who you obeyed. We once obeyed the deceiver. We once obeyed the father of lies. We were tricked into what he had to say. We were once his servants, and that servants of sin. But ye have obeyed now from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. And so this is how we render our thanksgiving to the Lord for all his blessings unto us. For the believer, not for the citizen of a nation, but for the believer, that we would render unto the Lord our thanksgiving because we by obeying from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto us. Philippians speaks beautifully of Christ and how he obeyed. Philippians chapter 2, it says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind that we as believers, far more than citizens of a nation, but we as children of God, as children of obedience, that we allow this mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it speaks of how he was lofty and he came down here upon this earth and made himself of no reputation. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself. Now this is the mind that we are to have, the mind of Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This was Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. He had the humility of presence to do what God would have him to do. And he became obedient even unto death. But the children of disobedience say, no, no thanks. I'm doing my own thing. I don't care about others. I'm doing my own thing. We are not the children of disobedience. We are not the children of disobedience. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we humble ourselves, and we become obedient unto him in all things. And even as Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that we likewise would render our lives over unto him and make that proclamation as the psalmist had made, that I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And to be obedient unto him is my pleasure. It's my desire. I delight to do thy will, O my God. This is what the Lord is calling us to. To that fellowship with him, that we might know him and be blessed by him. Having fellowship with the Lord is only possible by having obedience unto him. Full, unequivocal, simple obedience unto the Lord. And so Jesus makes these proclamations. Jesus, our Lord, says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. In other words, he who is obedient, he it is that loveth me. Even as the psalmist said, I love thee, O Lord. I love the Lord. He it is that loveth me. We love him, and we show our love to him by our obedience unto him. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. So if we love the Lord, we will be faithful to him, we will obey him, and when we obey him and love him, he will dwell with us. But he will not dwell with one who will be disobedient, who still has a will, who still has a desire, as is proclaimed there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self. We are no longer lovers of our own self. We love the Lord. We love the Lord, and we keep his word. We keep his commandments. And when we keep his commandments and obey him, Jesus says, I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. And then further, Jesus says here, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So in other words, again, Jesus is saying, he will be obedient. He will be obedient. And if he will be obedient and keep the words of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Beautiful promises. And so we find again, as the psalmist has found, that gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. He preserveth the simple. He deals bountifully with me. He has delivered my soul from death. We find these things, and they're beautiful in our lives, and we keep them and hold them dear. But it takes a will and an intentionality of our part to be obedient unto him. To be obedient unto him in all things, that nothing would be difficult, that his words, that the commandments of the Lord would not be grievous unto us. They would not be difficult, but that we would love the Lord and that we would find our delight in him to do his will. The other thing that the psalmist says, he said, I will walk before the Lord, meaning he will be obedient. He will pay his vows. And the other thing he says, I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the Lord. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is the most beautiful expression of our thanksgiving unto the Lord, of a believer's thanksgiving unto the Lord, is by full and complete and simple obedience to his will. This is how it will be done, and we will be blessed. We will be blessed. I'd like to refer to a message that was had about 3 weeks ago in Genesis chapter 22 about how Abraham was called to offer his son as a sacrifice. The Lord appears unto Abraham, and he says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, who you love, not just your neighbors or your enemy, but your only son, who you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Certainly there had to have been a lot of questions in Abraham's mind. Why would the Lord have me to do this? But we know that Abraham obeyed. We know that Abraham obeyed. So if we go to verses 16, 17, and 18, we read, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. The Lord swore here at this point, as he alone can do. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars in heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the seed of the gate of his enemies, and thy seed, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why did God swear this great proclamation of a blessing to Abraham? Why did the Lord do this? His conclusion here of this verse says, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There is no greater expression of thanksgiving from a believer than full and complete obedience unto the will of the Lord. Amen.